battery's dead. This is a Baptist thing. Good to see you here this morning after a good week of Thanksgiving and celebration to our Lord of what He has done for us and what He's going to do for us. Decorations are beautiful. Appreciate them. They got that all from me, decorating, I'm sure. So we appreciate them doing that. Everybody's got full of turkey, so we won't have turkey now till Christmas. No? Okay. Message that I'm preaching today came in a strange way. Pastor and I went down to L.A. That's not California. We went down to Lower Alabama a couple of weeks ago. And we were riding in a truck that had GPS in it. And punched the GPS and it took us right to the front door. No problem. He punched the button to come home. That's the problem. After a while, after running around on some county roads, he looked at me and he says, you remember this? No, I don't. Never been here before in my life. But it did get us back home. I think it was the famous Daniel Boone, the American frontiersman, who said that he'd never been lost, but he had been bewildered for 3 or 4 days at the time. So anyhow, some sermons comes in strange ways. And as I was coming back up the road and thinking about this, I thought about the first GPS system that was created. Far different than Magellan or any of these other things that we have today. I've owned several GPS systems over the years, and I've had the opportunity to back a travel trailer or a motorhome out of a dead-end street. Because you're riding down the road and the GPS says, do a right or do a left. And you do a right and you do a left and you find out that you're in a place that you don't need to be. I remember going up to Grandfather Mountain several years ago, and when you get there, it says no RVs allowed. So I'm already in line to go up to Grandfather Mountain, and just so happened there was a flower garden there and a great turning around place. So I went through the flower garden and turned the thing around. I had no choice. It was all behind me, and I hope the people ever who came out and looked at their flower garden, I hope they forgive me for that. But anyhow, how many of you have a GPS in your vehicle today? Has it always been faithful to you? Has it got you in some bad places? A few days later, I was reading through the scriptures, and as I was reading through the scriptures, I came to Exodus chapter number 13. And while you're turning there, let me refresh your memory on some things. Joseph, if you remember, the son of has the coat of many colors, and his brothers are jealous of him, and so he goes out to bring them some groceries as they are tending sheep out in the field. His brethren saw this dreamer coming because he had dreamed that one day his brothers would all bow down to him and honor him. And so what do? They catch him, they put him into a pit, they sell him to a bunch of Midianites, they take him down into Egypt. And he goes down into Egypt, and he is sold to a man by the name of Potiphar. And we know the story there concerning Potiphar's wife and how that Joseph wound up in prison. And he was an interpreter of dreams, but he's in prison. And there's two guys in there from the king's court, they've had a dream. And, of course, Joseph interprets that dream for them. And one gets out and one gets killed. But anyhow, we know that Pharaoh has a dream. And in this dream, Pharaoh dreams about 10 fat cows and 10 skinny cows, I believe it is. And Pharaoh wants to know what the interpretation of it is. And we know that nobody could interpret that. And this guy that he had interpreted the dream for him in prison said, he's a guy down there in prison. He knows how to interpret dreams. So they called Joseph up, and we know that he interprets the dream. There's going to be, I believe it's 7 years instead of 10. 7 years of famine and 7 years things going real well. And so we know there's a period of time. Joseph, we know, he recognizes his brothers when they come down to get corn. They do not recognize him, but he recognizes them, and he fills up their bags with corn, sends them back, and then they come again, and then he reveals himself unto them. And when he reveals himself unto them, they feared for their life that maybe that Joseph was going to take it out on him, and they were going to die, but he did not. And we know that he began to ask questions concerning his younger brother and his father, and they said everything's all right. So Joseph is going to bring the father and all the family that he has down into the land of Egypt. There's about 70 of them as they come down into Egypt, and we know that some 400 years later, we know that there's several million of them. God raises up a man by the name of Moses, and Moses is going to come back, and he's going to lead them out of the land of Egypt. We know that there's plagues that's going to take place, and the last plague is the death of the firstborn, and we know that they're going to allow them to leave the land. So here they are. Many of these people have been born in Egypt. They know nothing about the land of Canaan. They've never heard of this. And so here they are, and the Lord wants them to go into the land of Canaan. That brings us to Exodus chapter number 13, and read there with me in verses 20 through 22. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by the day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. So here is the first global positioning system. Now stay with me. We're going to go somewhere. I'll guarantee you that before we get done. So the children of Israel are here. They're moving through a hot burning desert. And what is it that you need when you're going through a hot burning desert? Well, you're going to need shade. Nothing like when you're out cutting your lawn or doing some work in the field or the garden and find yourself underneath a shade tree and maybe a cool breeze blowing by. And so here they are, and they're getting a visible presence of God in a heavenly GPS system. The church has never had a visible presence of God. We don't know what God looks like. We just know there's a God in heaven that loves us, cares for us, sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary for the remission of sin, that whosoever will can come and be born into the family of God and have eternal life. I'm grateful that one day, and I'm just thinking here, this is the 52nd Christmas that I've been preaching the Word of God. That's a long time. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I started when I was 50, so you can kind of figure that out. So these people here, they were looking forward to a new life. They were looking forward to a new life in the land of Canaan. I don't think we need a visible presence of God today because we walk by faith. And they needed the glory. And that's what they're going to see here at this time. And so God made preparation. God has made preparation in order that these people might wind up in a land flowing with milk and honey. And just as he had made preparation to bring them out of the land of Egypt, he's made preparation for the church. One of these days, and I was asked a question at the door today, do we go from here to into the presence of the Lord? Yes, we do. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We go into the place called paradise. paradise. And I'm grateful for what God has prepared for us. So there's several things that I want to say about this pillar of cloud, this first GPS system that we had. And I realized that this system here that God has prepared has never made a bad turn. These people never had to back out of a dead-end street. These people never had to do anything but just follow that cloud according to the will of God. So notice three things here. The cloud by day and the fire by night represented God's presence. Notice what it says there in verse 11 of Exodus chapter 13. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of Canaan, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it to thee. They were to teach every generation. They were to teach every generation about what God is doing for them at this time as he delivers them out of the land of Egypt. And he goes on to say, in the time to come when the sons ask, what is this? Then you have an answer for them. Tell them how that God brought you out of the land of Egypt by this cloud that was in the sky. And it says there in verse number 17 of Exodus chapter 13, and it says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them out through the way of the land of the Philistines, led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, let peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. Now, so the best route for Scott and I was to come back the same way that we went down to L.A. But this thing that we got in the truck, it brought us a different route. We did get back home. I still don't know the way that we came, but we came back. We did get back home. So these people here, they've just come out of slavery, and they were not prepared to go through the land of the Philistines. The Philistines were people of war, and they did not want to go there. And the Lord says, if they go through there, they might become afraid, and they might want to return to the land of Egypt. Now, they did want to return at one time, simply for the reason, and we'll get to that in just a moment, as we look into the Word of God a little fuller. They were not ready to face the enemy. They were not ready to face these Philistines. They were ready to go to the land of Canaan. Now, God could have performed a miracle. God could have done something for them in order that they might go through the land of the Philistines, but God did not do that. I realize he had the ability to do that, but he did not do that. God has a plan for all of us. God had a plan for them. God had a purpose for them to bring them out of the land of Egypt and bring them into the land of Canaan. Now, we know according to Exodus chapter number 12, there in verse number 37, it says, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. Now, we somewhat guess sometimes how many people came out of the land of Egypt. Some people says there was probably 1 million. Some say there was probably 2 million. We know for sure here in the Word of God that there were 600,000 footmen, and that was young men that was 20 years of age or older. They did not count the ones that was younger. And if every man had a wife, and usually every man does have a wife, and young fellas, if you ain't got a wife, you're looking for a wife. But anyhow, here they are. If there's 600,000 men here, there's 600,000 women out there that's chasing the men. Good enough. So God used a GPS to bring them into the land of promise. The Lord had promised Abraham back in Genesis chapter number 15, there in verses 13 and 14, it says, thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, And they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation where they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out. So we know why they now can leave Egypt. We know why that they are on the road into the promised land. We know why that they are traveling through the wilderness. And we know here it's going to take them 40 years to get from Egypt into the land of Canaan. And we know that God's going to take care of them there. We know that God is going to give them water. God's going to give them food. He's going to rain down manna every day for 6 days, and they're going to be able to consume that. And somebody says, what is that? I think that tasted like whatever they wanted. Just like yesterday, we were eating. I've never seen the like of the food. We had food galore. Are y'all hungry today? I ate enough for you yesterday to take care of you. I had something this year I'd never had before on Thanksgiving. Had fresh quail. Fresh rabbit. That's the reason you can run so. Killer spring in your step. Had smoked turkey. Had baked turkey. And all the trimmings to go with it. Yum, yum. So this cloud that came showed the very presence of God. They followed the plan of God. They killed that lamb. They put the blood upon the doorpost. And when the death angel passed through that night, he saw the blood upon the doorpost there and on the lintel. And he passed over them. But everything that did not have the blood upon that, there was the death of the firstborn. So there was God's presence that was with them. Then this cloud by day and fire by night represented God's protection. Notice in Numbers chapter number 14, verses 13 and 14. And Moses said unto the Lord, when the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou brought us this people in the night from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, the Lord, art among this people, and thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud, thy GPS, standeth over them, that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. No back roads, just plain desert. So this cloud was not only before them, but this cloud was over them. So they were getting that protection there as they followed the cloud. If the cloud turned right, they turned right. If the cloud turned left, they turned left. If the cloud stopped, they stopped. So God wanted to protect them, and He did protect them with this heavenly GPS system that was used there to lead them out of the land of Egypt into the land of Canaan. And then third of all, there's the cloud by day and the fire by night that represented God's presence. Notice in chapter 13 of Exodus, verse number 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. And by night is a pillar of a cloud to give them light to go by day and night. So every time they looked up, they could see this cloud. They knew the Lord was with them. And when you know the Lord is with you, it does make a difference, doesn't it not? It's great. When you're going into that hospital room, and I've been there several times this year. Not long ago, I had to go in and get a pressure washing job done on the lungs. If you've never had that, that's an experience you can enjoy. I was not afraid. You weren't afraid if they were going down inside of you and washing out your lungs? No. I was concerned about what they might find. And I still don't know what they're going to find. In fact, I won't know the results of what they did until January. So if I die, you know I died of something that they didn't know what I had. So it represented God's presence. So when you're going into that operating room and you're going to have surgery done, it's good to know that you've got a God with you. When you're walking in that display room and you're picking out that hope chest for your loved one, it's good to know that God is with you. When you're going through some trials in your life and you don't know why you're going through the trials of your life, it's good to know that God is with you. Doesn't he say, I will be a very present help in time of need? Doesn't he say, I'll go with you even unto the end? So it's good to know that you have a God in heaven that you can enjoy his presence. And so it makes a difference. So when you look at the Word of God and you see where God tells us here that he brought them out of the land of Egypt into the land of Canaan. Stay with me now. We're going to go somewhere just in a moment. Look in Exodus chapter number 14, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before, I'm trying to say this, Pi-hi-hi-roth. I say that right? You don't know either, do you? Between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye camp by the sea. Now let me explain this to you just for a moment. Pi-hi-hi-roth means mountains and gorges. Migdol and Baal Zephon were Egyptian cities with great armies. So now look at this, if you will, just for a moment. So they were camped where God told them to camp. Amen? They have been led by this cloud, and they're exactly where God wants them to be. But he has them here in a place where there's mountains and gorges on one side, so they can't go that way. They've got the people here. They're next to these two Egyptian cities that has great armies. So they can't go that way. And so they've got the Red Sea here this way. And they can't go that way. And they've got Pharaoh and his army coming from this way. So they don't want to get entangled with them in that situation. And so the Bible tells us here that they really don't know what to do. And they're saying there was no graves in Egypt, so why did you bring us here to the edge of this Red Sea, and probably they're going to kill every one of us? Notice Exodus 14, verses 19 and 20. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, notice this, it removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. So when it looks like there's no way out, the Lord will come and stand between you
and your enemy.
We can't go this way because there's mountains and gorges. We can't go this way because there's two Egyptian camps over here that has great armies. We can't go this way because the Red Sea is before us. We can't go this way because the Pharaoh's army is coming this way. And if they get into our camp, they're going to kill every one of us. So what do we do? Verse 21 of chapter 14. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall upon them, on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning, when the Lord looked into the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire. Notice that. He's using that GPS system. When he looked through the pillar of fire and the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians, took off the chariot wheels that they drove them heavenly, so that the Egyptians said, "Boys, we got to get out of here. Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." Are you saved? Do you know the Lord in the free pardon of sin? Is it God's obligation to fight for you? To take care of you in your difficult times? Notice what happens. The army's in the midst of the sea, and note what it says in verse 26. And the Lord said to Moses, very familiar story, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as a one of them. You say, "Pastor, my GPS talks to me." This one did too. In Psalms 99, verse 7, it says, "He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinances that he gave them." Exodus 14:30 says, "Thus saith the Lord, saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Let's see if we can bring this all together. All the GPSs that I've had over the years, sometimes when I make a wrong turn, what does it say? Recalculate. Recalculate. I was going down Interstate 85. I was headed to Destin, Florida, and it says turn right. So I turned right. I go out a couple of miles and it says turn left. I turn left. I go another several miles out through there and it says turn left again. So I turn left again. And you know where it brought me to? Right back to 85 highway that I just got off of. I think sometimes we as Christians make a wrong turn. I think sometimes we need to recalculate. I think we need to get back on the right path. Just as God spoke to the nation of Israel out of this cloud, if you'll read this word long enough, you'll find out that God will speak to you right out of this word. And it'll give you directions for your life. And some of us needs to recalculate. I know there's been times in my life that I've had to come back to an altar and bow before God and say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for being what I have been. And maybe some of you this morning need to do the same thing. You need to recalculate. God's trying to lead you in a direction that's pleasing in His sight, but you've got on the wrong path. All of us have been there, but all of us has the opportunity to come back. You can do that today. Pastor's here to pray with you. I'm here to pray with you. Others are here to pray with you. You may not want anybody to pray with you. You may just want to come and ask God to forgive you. Get your life straightened back up, what it needs to be, that God can lead you in a path of righteousness for His name's sake. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you today for the Word of God, forever settled in the heavens. Thank you that this Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway, and that I might hide its words in my heart that I not sin against thee. And Lord, I don't know who might be here today that needs to get their life straightened out. Somebody here today that maybe has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. What a great day this would be for them to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Invite Him into their life. Make a new creature out of them. They can be born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, dear God, that you have a plan for my life. I realize you've got a purpose for it. I realize I'm coming down to the end of life's way. I understand that. But it's good to know that you're walking with me. You're guiding my steps, giving me direction for my life. As they sing and play this morning, speak to the heart of that one that's here that needs Christ in their life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we all stand.
Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in His glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We are located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you, because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.